Was that nice having that chit chat?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful day to do that. All right. Well, I'd like to have Chris come up. As Matt was saying, he just got back from Tijuana with his family, and he just wanted to share a couple minutes of what happened down there. Tell these guys what happened in Tijuana.
So we had kind of an oddball group of people that, from my old life, it just, one of those situations where people were brought together in a very unlikely way through Facebook and just different people being on fire for God, wanting to go serve God. And there's a brother of mine that actually, they built a church down there. It's absolutely out of scraps. And these people have so much joy. And I had heard about it. I had seen some pictures and everything. We get down there. And the joy that they had, you would think that we're right here. And these kids, these people are dirt poor. We went and we took clothes. We took food for them to take home. But then we also had a big barbecue for them. My brother Ryan shared the word. And we were just loving on the people. And then when we got on the highway to leave that evening, you look over to the right, my wife just starts weeping, just bawling, that uncontrollable where you can't speak, seeing how they live. Because where we are down here, and then once you're up higher, you can actually see how they live. You go to any construction site here, they would be so happy with the scraps that are on that job site. I mean, it's literally pieces of tarps, signs. I mean, it's hard to understand why or how they could smile, right? But these people are on fire for Christ, and they were so happy. They're filled with so much joy, and they praise and worship so hard, because of what they're grateful for, because they know Christ. And you know when you hug somebody and you meet somebody, and it's like you've known them for like 15 years already? You know what I mean? And that's how it was, that welcoming, that love, that joy. And then actually right before that, sorry, not in order, but we went to the house of Beseda, which is the house where people that are rejected by the hospital because they have no money or no family, they send them here. Pastor, I can't remember his name. But anyways, I met some beautiful people down there. I met a brother named Caesar, who God literally brought him back from the dead. They smashed the back of his head and stomped him out with boots. He was in the morgue, and then he started breathing, I guess. He had no hearing, no vision, nothing. Now my brother speaks, he sees and he hears. He's still in a wheelchair, but he praises Christ with every breath. Our brother Mauricio, if you could also keep these people in prayer, please. He was playing Russian roulette, and he lost. And it went off. And now he's crippled in bed. Whew, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to cry. He has a trach, Cole. And you know what he said with the little breaths that he could get? Philippians 4:13. He didn't say Philippians 4:13. He said, it's Christ who strengthens me. Amen. And every single person that was in that room broke down sobbing so hard as soon as we heard that. Just falling on him, praying, and it was just very powerful. And then, so we see all of these things, and then we go down to see our brother Aaron in La Hermosa, in Primo Tapia, and come to find out this past not this Thursday, but the one prior, right in front of the church, literally not even completely across the street, the cars that are parked going this way, there were guys parked in the truck. They called somebody over from the church who was standing in front of the church at the end of their Thursday service and shot him 3 times in the face.
Wow.
In front of the church. Not even like all the way to the other sidewalk.
Wow.
And what the pastor down there was speaking about was the necessity of the grief and the intensity we need to have for sharing the gospel. Because we need it. We live in a world where it's needed so much more than we realize. Now, it's one thing when it happens a city over, a block away, or something like that, but when it happens on your doorstep, it kind of wakes you up.
Amen.
And then just to see how Christ is moving through all of that, is just absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, I think he's just getting started. What do you think? I think I'm going to need to set aside a whole Sunday. Y'all starting to feel this? Thank you for the update, man. Bless you.
Thank you for everything.
Yeah, bless you. Wow. Yeah, we'll have to pencil that one in. So, very cool. His testimony alone is really exciting, how God has worked in Chris's life, and God is just so good. He is our good, good Father, right? Last week, we started looking at a key ingredient for a healthy church, and that's prayer. We've been in Acts 2:42 for a long time, for a few weeks. It is so rich. So let's look at Acts 2:42 again and read this so that we can get it in us, because this is so substantial for having a healthy church. It says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. These are four important ingredients for a healthy church. And before I continue with the next aspect of prayer, I want to pray. Dear Lord, I thank you that you hear us. I thank you that you want to speak to us. I thank you for your word, Lord. I pray that you'll illuminate the word, that we'll understand it and understand your heart for prayer, your heart for wanting to be close to us and speak to us and hear us and be in our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. So, we have learned already about prayer that, if you look at your notes, that it's conversation with God. We learned that Jesus modeled how to pray. He taught that there's many characteristics of prayer. And he taught us to ask in the Father in the name of Jesus. And we found that when we ask in the name of Jesus, our mind changes to have more of a mind of Christ, so we start to ask for the things that he wants us to have anyway. That's why he says, whatever you ask for in my name, these things I will do for you, because you're starting to ask for the things he wants you to have anyway. Isn't that cool? Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Your desires will change as you become more like him. We're being transformed into the likeness of his Son from glory to glory, from moment to moment, as he works all things for the good for those who are called by him and who love him. We started different types of prayers last week. Before we stopped, we looked at the prayer of faith. The effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's our faith that we bring to him that brings so much answer to prayer. It's not about the pastor. It's not it's about the faith that you bring. You come expectantly and God starts to move. In that aspect, I become a facilitator, because you're the one that's bringing the faith. We looked at corporate prayer and the importance of corporate prayer. And I believe that that was a big part of this prayer in the early church, that they were involved in corporate prayer as they met daily together and prayed. The next type of prayer I want to look at is a prayer of supplication. The prayer of supplication. If you look at Matthew 21, 22, says, and Jesus answered, says, all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will see, you'll receive. And John 16, 24, if you read it in your Bible, hearing comes from the Word of God, right? And if you read it, your faith will be built up. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. John 16, 24 says, until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you'll receive, so that your joy may be made full. God wants us to have joy, and it comes from asking. We're to take our requests to God. If you need something, ask God. But isn't it funny how we don't? Right? We just don't. So often, what do? we go to the wishing well and we throw some pennies in and hope that maybe it's going to get answered. When I went to Rome, there's the famous fountain near the Pantheon, and everybody's going to the Pantheon to put in their coins to maybe have that request be made and answered. Even at the mall, there's all kinds of coins in the mall. I don't know if it was Greg Laurie, one of the preachers, saying when no one's looking, he lets his kids go in there and start collecting money, you know. I mean, what's it going to do in there? It's going to rust, right? We do all these things. We talk about rubbing a lamp, and maybe the genie will come out and give you three wishes. You know, as kids, you talk about that. What would, you know, I would ask for endless requests. It'd be my first request, right? You know, we whine to our parents and whine because we hear the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And if we don't get it, we sneak it. Some people just decide to take it. Yesterday, there was a small red car in my neighborhood with paper plates, an older car. I'm thinking, why does an older car have paper plates? And they're driving through my neighborhood, and that's what cars do when they're casing houses, looking for a house to rob. And there's a girl in there with her boyfriend or something, you know, and they're kind of driving through, and I'm thinking, where are these guys going? They go all the way to the market. They go in the parking lot the wrong way, and I'm thinking, they don't live here. They go in the parking lot the wrong way. Then they turn around and go back out of Westchester the same way they came in, like they're lost. And, you know, it looked to me like they're casing, looking for a house to rob. They're not asking God. They want to just go take it. And when I go to Los Padrinos Juvenile Hall, I've met guys in there that do that. It's only a misdemeanor. It's not a felony. So if you get caught, they slap you on the hand, throw you in juvie for a little while, and send you back to the streets. He said, I can't wait to get out of here so I can go break into some more houses. I said, well, why do you want to do that? Because I want some more stuff. Well, why don't you get a job? Why don't you ask God for your stuff, right? We do this at our birthday parties. Make your birthday wish before you blow out the candles. Well, in my family, we make a birthday prayer. Right? Make your birthday prayer, then blow out the candles. Ask God. God will give you those things. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. I found a joke here. It says, two young boys were spending the night at their grandparents'. At bedtime, the two boys knelt beside their beds to say their prayers when the youngest one began praying at the top of his lungs. I pray for a new bicycle. I pray for a new Nintendo. I pray for a new PVR. His older brother leaned over and nudged the younger brother and said, why are you shouting your prayers? God isn't deaf. To which the little brother replied, no, but Grandma is. You know, Philippians 4:6 teaches, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Give Him your request. You know, my oldest two, Daniel and Kay, just went on their second annual excursion to Big Sur last week. And it's like our big test, you know, to see, let the birds fly a little bit. Take the family car, and you just start praying immediately, right? Heading up into the wilds with no cell for service, you know, with cliffs and caves and huge waves and sharks and mysterious places. You know, when you're a homeschool family, this is like the next step, right? And so Daniel was up there, and he's like the head of the troop there, and they're going up this mountain road. Maybe I should have him tell the story, but he's going up this mountain road because all the campgrounds were full, and they didn't realize it was spring break for everyone else, and so they had to go find one of those free campsites. So that means you have to drive higher to find the free campsites. So they're going up, and it gets a little squirrely in our Suburban, and they're sliding around in the mud, and they decide they have to back down. So they're backing down, and he's trying to avoid holes, and his wheel goes off the edge into a little ditch. And they're not too bad yet. Then they started to get out, and it started sinking, and all of a sudden they were down to the axle. And they're on this mountain road, no cell service, and Daniel said at that point, he was thinking, Daddy? So what are you going to do? What did you do? They prayed. Hey, exactly. I thought, wow, I got my sermon illustration, you know? No, but they did. They prayed. And check this out. This is so cool. So they're there on this road. No one's around. And there's one of those big, tall vans drive up, those new cool vans you can stand in. And these guys get out, and they're fully equipped, experienced campers. They have those nice, wide, those straps. And we have hooks on the front of our car. And they just winched it up and pulled it right out. One, two, three, whoom, boom, no problem. And Daniel's like, thank you, Jesus, you know. You know, ask and you shall receive. I mean, that was pretty cool. I mean, it could have been a little VW that came up and everybody's pushing on it all day. Or maybe the guy that wants to get the jack and just jack it up. And, you know, there's ways to get it out of there. But with straps and a nice, strong car with torque, and our four-wheel drive worked for just long enough, because it needs to be serviced, to get it out of there. So, praise God. So, and Daniel was anxious. However, he knew where to go to, not this daddy, but to that daddy. Abba Father, right? Daddy, our big daddy, our good, good father, that knows exactly where you are. And they ended up at this beautiful campsite with this 360 view of Big Sur for free. It was really cool. So God worked it all out. And how cool is that? Now, also part of praying is winning the spiritual battle, right? We have to understand that there's a spiritual realm around us. And I'm sure that when Chris was in Tijuana, he sensed that presence, that dark presence that's battling against our presence and the Lord's presence, especially in a town where there's already been 2,000 murders this year. Guys buy drugs, they end up using them instead of selling them, and then the dealer shoots them. I mean, that's basically the story. And so we need to pray at all times in the Spirit and with prayer and supplication. I found that lately in my classroom, because now we're towards the end of the year, I teach sixth grade math and science. At towards the end of the year, my kids are really on each other. They've become familiar with each other, and they've got a history since last August. And they're just constantly bagging on each other, calling each other names. And so I've been starting to pray for them by name. And it's changing my classroom. And I've been praying, Lord, give me grace. I've been hearing this 16-week message by Chuck Swindoll at 7 in the morning on 99.5 about grace. I need to extend grace. I need grace from God in order to be patient. I need His strength. I need wisdom. And it's a spiritual battle. Lord, drive the demons out of my classroom and all the things that accompany these kids that come here from their home lives, so that I can teach fractions, right? That they absolutely don't want to do, because that means you have to know their times tables. And they don't want to do that either. Except right now I'm starting a new club. And as soon as you get your times tables done within 8 minutes, all the way up to 12, then you get to play video games in the club. And so everybody's like, oh! So they're trying to get it done so they could join the club. Whatever you got to do, right? But we have to pray against the presence of the enemy. He's the accuser of the brethren. Have you ever noticed when you're in the flesh, it's like you just find yourself accusing people in your house. Why did you do that? I can't believe you did that. And the accuser of the brethren, he wants to bring accusations. He wants us to accuse each other. He wants division. He wants chaos. I love that line that we just sang in that song. He brings our chaos back into order. Wait a second. The house is upside down. Let's all stop right now. Reset. Okay, don't we love each other here? Right? Okay, well, let's ask for forgiveness. Let's stop accusing each other. You know, oftentimes it's, where did you put my keys? And then it was, I put them somewhere, you know, not someone else. We start accusing each other. It's so easy to do. And that's, we fall into Satan's trap. I also remember years ago, well, I'm only on page one and it's 938. This is crazy. But years ago, when I was working in Harbor City with gang members and with the kids that are on the fringe, the young guys, taking them to church and stuff, we took them to Duke of Earl in Long Beach, which was a play with gang members. This is back when Colors was a big deal, when there was a high rate of homicides in L.A. in the late 1980s. And this gang, this play was so real. Guys would flying around the theater with shotguns, with blanks, dressed up in their rags, And we had about 10 different gangs in there from Gardena. We had Waterfront, Piru, Harbor City gangs. We had South Los, all these different gangs from all over South LA in one theater together, which is like asking for trouble, right? But we were asking for deliverance. So the Victory Outreach people, that was started by Sonny Anguanzoni. It's a great story. Once a Junkie's his book. He was healed from heroin without cold turkey. You know, he didn't do any cold turkey, just instantly delivered years ago. He started Victory Outreach. All the men in Victory Outreach who are former gang members and felons and different, you know, drug users have been praying and fasting for this event. And I remember we're in the middle of this play and it's getting so good. And all of a sudden all my guys run out and I thought, oh no, here we go. Turns out one of our guys got jumped in the bathroom. And so they're running outside. And so I got all the guys, all the kids, and all the older gangsters all went out. By the way, I forgot to tell you one thing. When we were driving over there, I was going through Wilmington, through the enemy hood, through Wilmos, and I took the wrong street. And I had all the hardcore gangsters behind me, and they're in Impala, and I'm in the church van. And like, where is he taking us? And I took him through enemy territory. Oh, my God. So anyway, at the end of the play, they all run out, and then we all go out there, and Eastside Longos, which was a rival gang in Long Beach, they were all lined up down the sidewalk, and all the Harbor City guys went through there, and they're all mad-dogging them, but not one guy touched our guys, and we all got in the van and drove back to safety. I was like, thank you, Jesus. You know, so the guys got the gospel, a lot of it, and then they left without getting harmed, and God took care of us. God will take care of us. By the way, one of those gang members did leave the gang. I saw him at Trader Joe's about 15 years later in line behind me. So I was really stoked for that. I can talk more about that later. But we need to pray for protection. I always say pray or be pray. P-R-A-Y or B-P-R-E-Y. Tell your neighbor that. Pray or be pray. Right? We need to engage in spiritual warfare. We know in Ephesians... In Ephesians 6, you turn to Ephesians 6 in your Bibles. 6:18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And if you look at the first part of that from verse 10, might as well start there. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day and having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You do that in the morning before you leave the house and you'll be ready. Think about each aspect of that too as you put on your armor. God will give you guidance too as you pray. Isaiah 30:21 says, there will be a small voice saying, go to the right or go to the left. You'll sense God speaking to your heart about what to do, where to work, where to live, where to marry. You need to pray for open doors. In Colossians 4:3, Paul says, pray for me that God might open the door so that I may preach the gospel. Well, God is going to open the doors to preach the gospel in many ways. Just by positioning you where you are in your job, in your neighborhood, in your marriage will be a way to preach the gospel. God knew that I needed my wife in my life, and I believe He spoke to me and said, I've prepared her for you because I had so much deficiencies that she fulfilled. And she can answer the other side if that's true. But I know I needed her to complete what I needed to do in my life and my calling. When I got my job, I asked the Lord whether to take the job. And I remember that morning, He said, don't worry, I got the interview. I walked into this job that had turned me down already, this school, and they just hired a new principal that I'd worked with in Gardena back in the 1900s, last century. And he looked at me and he said, are you the same Ross Russell I've always known? This is like 15 years later. I said, yeah. He said, well, I want to hire you immediately. I knew right away God had spoken to me. And he wanted me there, and now I have a Bible club in my classroom every Wednesday. And I've told y'all, it's just a little miracle to have a Bible club in a public school classroom. And we worked our way through Mark, and we just got to the Palm Sunday, led up to the crucifixion on Wednesday. This next Wednesday, we're going to talk about Easter. By the way, next week is Palm Sunday, and Joe is going to be baptized. So bring friends and family. We're going to celebrate life next week and the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem. So we need to pray about where we work, where we live, who we marry, because it's all part of the puzzle of how God is going to work in us and through us according to His good and perfect will to bring, further the kingdom, to bear fruit, to bring His love to people. Nothing is accidental. It's all part of the puzzle. It's so cool when you think of it that way, that we're not just in this random life. Life is not random McNally, right? For all you guys that used to play board games like by Random McNally. So I'm all the way to page 2 out of page 7. Okay, here we go. Let's see what happens. So, but can you see how the subject of prayer is enormous? You know, we think, oh, no, I think I need to pray more often. We say that. But prayer is huge. It is so essential. And I am one that is being challenged to pray more. And this is great because it's showing me so many different ways to pray. And another way to pray is to be thankful. If you look at Psalm 92, Psalm 105, Psalm 106, Psalm 107, I just looked at those last night. Those all start with, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. That's how we should start every day. That's how we should start our attitude. That's how we should start our day at work. When we come home from a hard day and go back into our house with our kids. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. It changes our whole disposition. It really does. It really does. In Philippians 1, 3, and 5, if you'll flip over there to Philippians, go eat popcorn. It's right before the corn. Okay, Philippians 1, how about General Electric Power Company? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Philippians 1, 3, and 5. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. That's how Paul starts off here. In 4 and 6, he says, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Okay? God wants us to be thankful. Remember the acronym that I gave you last week? It's at the bottom of the page in case we don't finish. P stands for praise. Praise. That means thank God. Praise Him. I wake up in the morning and I thank God for all kinds of things. You may think this is funny, but I thank Him for a toilet seat. I was in the Ukraine for 3 months in a hotel without a toilet seat when I did a mission. And I had to stand up on the rim, and that's not much fun, especially when you're tired and can't balance yourself. I thank God for clean water. I can actually turn the water on and drink it. I've been in countries for months where it would have killed me. And I have been deadly sick coming back from the Philippines and other places. I thank God for good water. I thank God for my wife and my children. I'm so blessed to have my kids doing the worship. Come on. It's a dream come true. Seriously. I thank God for this church. I thank God for my cars that are still running, even though they're from the last century. Actually, our Suburban's not. The other one's, yeah, I think it should be in a museum pretty soon. My kids think it's really funny, but it works, right? I tell them it's a really good car because there's tons of them in Mexico. See explorers everywhere. We must have a really good car. Same year model and everything, 93. So I start every day thanking Him. The P is for praise. The R is for repent. Lord, test my anxious thoughts. Show me if there's any wickedness in me. Test me. And cleanse my heart. As we've learned before, sprinkle me clean as I draw on full assurance of faith to you. Sprinkle my conscience clean. so that I can be clear with you, because I can't minister, I can't love people, I can't do my job if I'm all bent out of shape and have bitterness and unforgiveness and I've been sinning and I've been letting things in my eye gate that I haven't taken been accountable for or whatever it is. I got to do business with God. Repent. And then A is to ask. Ask. And I told y'all I ask for something different every day of the week so that I can be more efficient. So on Mondays, I talk, ask God about my children. Tuesdays, finances, friends. Wednesdays, my neighbors. Thursdays, missions. Friday is for pastors and the message. Saturdays for extended family. And Sunday is, oh God, help me. I'm about to preach on the beach. And I pray for the church, right? So, but whatever will help you be efficient, ask. And then why is yield? Look at, what does this look like? See the why? Yield to God and say, Jesus, I'm yours. I can't do anything apart from you. We know that from John 15. Apart from the vine, we can do nothing. And that's how I start my day. And if we do that, then we'll be in the right, we'll have the right disposition. We'll be already in a good place before anything's ever happened. And then obviously reading the Word will give us the mind of Christ. That's the filter as we read the news and get all these texts and hear conversations. We're able to filter it correctly with the Word of God. So I start with praise, thankfulness. And this leads to number 9, the prayer of worship. For me, the prayer of worship is even bigger than I thought. It says in Acts 13, 2 through 3. Acts 13, 2 through 3. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I've called them. In other versions, it says, while they were worshiping and fasting. You know, I was just really meditating on this the last few days, and the prayer of worship is similar to the prayer of thanksgiving. The difference is that worship is focusing on God, and thanksgiving focuses on what God has done. So as we're worshiping, we're actually praying. Think about it, because we're talking to Him as we sing. Oh, you're a good, good Father. Yes, you are. You're a good, good Father. I've been listening to Rivers and Robots. Has anybody tried Rivers and Robots yet? I know it sounds weird, but they are the best worship band ever. I told my friend in Maryland about it, and he went and found them in Baltimore in a small church. They're from England, and sent me a Facebook Live on Friday. He's like, I'm at Rivers and Robots right now. I'm like, no way. These guys are so anointed. They write these beautiful songs with scripture, and if you play it in the car, it just the sense of the presence of the Lord comes. It's easy music, and these guys are super talented. But I just, as I'm singing these words, I'm praying. Listen to these words from their song, My Refuge. Though the seas may rage and earth may shake, I don't have to be afraid. Though the mountains move into the sea, you're a steadfast rock beneath my feet. God, my rock. God, my rock. God, my strength. God, my strength. Though kingdoms fall and seasons fade, your steadfast love will never change. Those who call upon your name, they will not be put to shame. You're my rock. You're my rock. You're my strength. You're my strength. I will take my refuge under the shadow of your wings, O God. When anxious thoughts take a hold of me, I'll remember you're the Prince of Peace. You see this? You're acknowledging God's truths as you're singing. It's a form of prayer. You're my place of rest and my escape. Father, you'll be my hiding place. You're my refuge, God. Oh, you're my refuge, God. You're my deliverer. Lord, I turn to you. Lord, you're with me. You're my fortress. You're my defender. You're my refuge. How can you go wrong with these lyrics? And then you hear the music. It's so good. I turn to you, very present help in trouble. Oh, you're my refuge, God. By the time you finish that, I do that on the way to work after I pray and I surf. I get in the car, listen to Chuck Swindoll, and then I sing to this music as I'm getting off the freeway and getting into the city to get to my school. And it's like this big wave just washing all that stuff away in front of me. Whoosh, whoosh, making this birth for me. As I come into the parking lot, it's going to be okay. Whoosh, whoosh. I'm getting this right now. And I just come and I'm parked like my, just coming into this safe landing, ready for these crazy kids. Oh my gosh. Woo, it went right to the last bell on Friday. Met with a mama and we talked it out. No, she didn't tell you the truth. This is the truth. But that's my refuge. Jesus is my refuge, right? Or how about this song? Provider. Oh Lord, you lead my heart so well. You are my ever-present help. You know that I need more than anyone else. Teach me to trust your ways, because over and over again, you show me that your faithfulness never ends. These are the lyrics. Over and over again, you remind me that you have a plan for my life. I trust you. Father, you lead me so perfectly. You're always beside me. You never leave. Through every season of life, you're my provider. I know that even when I'm feeling lost at sea, and I felt pretty lost out there before in some big surf, your mighty hand still reaches out for me. Through every season of life, you're my provider. You're my provider. When we're at the end of the month on fumes, you know what I'm talking about? We have more month than money. I sing this song. You're my provider. You're my provider. You don't forget your promises. I'm thankful for the strength you give. This is still the lyrics. Lord, I will praise you as long as I live. Teach me to trust your ways, because over and over again, you've shown that your faithfulness never ends. Over and over again, you remind me that you have a plan for my life. When my friend was watching this in Baltimore, he sent me a text. He said, I cannot stop crying. Cannot stop crying. Because it's so rich. It's so real. It's truth. This is what God has for us. Father, you lead me so perfectly. You're always beside me. You never leave. Through every season of life, you're my provider. I know that. Even when I'm feeling lost at sea, your mighty hand will reach out for me. Through every season of life, you're my provider. You're my provider. When you listen to music and sing with music like that, you're praying. It's a type of prayer. The prayer of worship. Try it. It won't hurt, I promise. Money back guarantee. Go to Rivers and Robots on your Spotify and just pick My Provider or My Refuge, and you will not be disappointed. And I know that some music tastes are like, I'm glad you like that, but it's not really my cup of tea. But nonetheless, I think this is something that will go across the borders of taste. Wow. So much to talk about prayer. It's just crazy. Okay. So, one more thing about worship. I got a text while I was preparing this message the last week. A good friend of mine, Brandon Martin, his mother was in bad shape. He said, please pray. Please pray for my mom. Her kidneys are failing. She can't keep anything down. She's in the hospital throwing up. And I prayed for her and kept working on the message. And then I got a message from him yesterday. My mom passed away 2 days ago. And he's been with us and ministered in Mexico. He's a real dear friend. He's an excellent surfer. He said, thanks for the prayers and that word I gave him, 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. I said, may the God of all comfort comfort you so that you can comfort others with the comfort that he's given you. That was my mom's verse. And when she died, I spoke at her celebration of life and gave that verse. And I said, well, now our moms are together in heaven, right? And they're better off than we are. He said, I'm glad that season of pain and suffering is over and that we were with her when she passed. I was praying with worship music over her. He didn't know I was about to preach this. I was praying with worship music over her. For a while, after she went to sleep that night, and God showed me a vision of her dancing with Jesus in heaven to the music. She looked free and was wearing a new white dress. He said, that's when I felt peace and comfort over me. His mom in a new white dress, dancing in heaven. That's reality. for us. That's reality. We're going to go to heaven, and it is real. And I'm not going to get a dress, but a lot of y'all are. We'll be dressed in white, symbolic of being totally set free from sin forever. In a place where there's no pain, no suffering, no more mourning, for the former has passed away. Always in the presence of the light of the Lord, no darkness, no bad guys, no house robbers, no need to. When the early church was praying and fasting and worshiping, they set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work that was called. They were called to. As we worship and lay hands on each other and pray, God is going to speak to us too, like He did to Brandon when he was praying for his mother. Let's be open to God speaking to us. And now that I got to point number 10, it is 10 o'clock. The prayer concentration, the series Ingredients for a Healthy Church continues. But hey, is this good stuff or what? Right? Is this good stuff or what? And I want to encourage you guys to get a prayer diary of some kind. Get a journal, a spiral notebook or something, and write down your prayers. Write down your prayer requests. Put a little star by it when God answers your prayer. And then you can go back and look at it later and look for those stars and see God's track record. You know, He proves Himself true, right? This one's from YWAM, Youth with a Mission. You can go to ywam.org. It has all kinds of information about countries and stories and how to pray. But whatever you want to use, I encourage you to be intentional about your prayer life. Amen? Well, speaking of prayer, I would like to pray with those who have never received Jesus into their heart. So let's close our eyes. Maybe somebody with an earshot has never heard the gospel. What is the gospel? I thought that's just a type of music. Well, that music came out of people that were thankful to God. Gospel music came from people that knew the gospel, that knew that Jesus was coming back, that Jesus saves, that we're all sinners and we all fall short of the glory of God. But great is this gift that God has given us, eternal life in Christ Jesus, because when He went to the cross, He satisfied the payment for our sin. And it says that, behold, He stands at the door and knock. If anybody opens it up, He'll come in and sup with Him. He'll come in and build a relationship with Him. He'll come in and be with Him. If Jesus is knocking on the door right now of your heart, the door of your heart right now, and you believe, but as John 1:12 says, you have not received, because we need to not only believe, but receive. I want you to raise your hand and I want to pray with you. If you believe but have not received and said, Jesus, I want to follow You, raise your hand. All right. Keep praying, guys, that already know the Lord. Okay, no one's hands are up, so now you know what to pray. So if you want to pray later, you don't have to be here. You can be anywhere. Today's a day for salvation. Do business with God as soon as you're ready. But I say, why wait? Nothing but good comes from it. Now, for the rest of you guys, who feels like they need to recommit to the Lord today and say, you know what? I believe, I received, I've been a little bit off kilter, and I just want to be all in today. Raise your hand. I see those hands. Awesome. I see those hands. I see those hands. Awesome. God looks throughout the world to strongly support those whose heart is fully for Him. And if He is for you, who can be against you? How wonderful is that? Let's all pray this prayer together with those who have their hands up. Dear Jesus, I give You my life again today. I believe in You. I believe You died for me. I believe that You forgave me. I believe that You rose from the dead. So I believe what You said. And what You're still saying to my heart. I surrender. I give You my life. Show me how to live. Because You know what's best. And help me love people in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a big clap. Woo! Go Jesus. Are we just so lucky to know Jesus? I mean, is that a way to use the word lucky? I'm so grateful to be part of the kingdom. Let's stand up and thank the Lord. And can we sing Good, Good Father again to end, Daniel? And think about that unexplainable peace that's in the lyrics of this song. You give us a peace that's unexplainable. And this happens when we pray. Amen.